Our next guest, by the way, is the commissioner of the State Department of Education. We welcome Dr. Miguel Cardona. Hey, doctor, good morning. Thanks for being with us this morning.
Hi, hello.
How are you this morning? Good. Good. We appreciate your time. So there was my goodness, it's just surprising that we hear that the schools are going to be closed for a while indefinitely. We're hearing so many different things. At first we heard it was going to be a couple of weeks. We hear then maybe it will be, April 20th, and then perhaps we're going to lose the school year entirely. And then recently, boy, oh boy, it could actually go into the fall. Number one, in your heart of hearts, this is all, of course, unofficial. What are you thinking? Where do you think it will fall upon that scale?
So right now, yes, we did extend it to the 20th of April. I'm hoping that if social distancing happens and people are containing the spread of the virus by limiting activity that's unnecessary, it could be that we return back this year. That would be my wish. I want our students to get back. I want our students to cross the stage and graduate. But a lot of that is going to be determined based on what happens in the next couple of weeks.
Can boards of education make their own decisions if they say, you know what, we're going to go back regardless on X, I don't know, I'm just making up a hypothetical date, on May 1st or whatever it happens to be. Are they allowed to do that, or they have to adhere to these state guidelines, correct?
Well, when an executive order is passed, yeah, requiring adherence to it. Again, these decisions are not made lightly.
Sure.
So we would base our decisions and any guidance that we provide on what the medical, what we're hearing from the medical folks, what's actually happening on the ground, what we know. And we want to make sure that if we are having students come back, that the buildings that they're coming back to are safe.
Yeah, that's a great point. It's not just a matter of, and I was talking to some high schoolers over the weekend who are like, we may not have a prom, and you had a prom, and other classes had a prom, and we've been thinking about this since we entered high school, or junior prom, or what about graduation? I mean, we're going to be more than 10 people together, or do we even have it? And I said, I think it's a wait and see right now. I don't want to be all doom and gloom here. I said, you're being a little presumptuous. Could that happen theoretically? Yes, but only theoretically. I think a lot of it is contingent on how quickly the nation can really at least get ahead of the curve a little bit when it comes to curbing some of the numbers for the outbreak of the coronavirus. Isn't that what it's predicated on?
Totally. It totally is. And man, I feel for those high school seniors. I feel for those juniors who are thinking about their prom and high school and college graduates too. I've heard from a lot of college graduates whose graduation has already been canceled.
Yeah.
So I totally get it. I get that. I'm a parent of a high schooler and a middle schooler, and I see what they're going through daily. So it's a very difficult decision, and we don't want to make it prematurely, but we also are not going to hesitate if it means protecting lives.
Right, and that's why it's so important that we get you on this morning, because we get to hear it from your mouth, and there's no rumor, there's no rhetoric or spin, and that, this is not an easy decision to make. Nobody wants to there's athletes, for example, who are saying, I'll never get that playoff. We were doing so well. We had an undefeated season, and we couldn't wait to get into the playoffs. Or scouts are looking at us for college recruitment, for the juniors. And I was defending, the system, saying it can't be a decision that's just made, lightly. The big picture is your safety, the safety of you, but the safety of your peers as well.
Absolutely. I read this morning that there was a game in Europe, a soccer game that was held about a month ago. Oh. And a lot of people that were at that soccer game caught it at that soccer game.
Goodness.
And are now spreading it. And it's like the epicenter. And people are literally losing their lives in that community. So we're going to make sure safety is our number one priority. But at the end of the day, I'm dealing with my own child who was a part of a play. And there's a good possibility that play is not going to happen. So
no.
I get the frustration and the emotion that comes with it. I wish I can say, let's go back on April 20th and we're going to be back to normal. I want that. I want that as much as those students do.
Yeah, we all do.
But the parents too, who were looking forward to that experience of seeing their child graduate. That's heart wrenching to think that there's a possibility that won't happen. At this point, that's not the case. but we're going to continue to watch what happens. We're going to continue to encourage people to stay home and stay safe wherever possible, so that we can limit the transmission and ultimately get back to life as normal as soon as possible.
I couldn't agree with you more, and I know a lot of people agree with you. I want to look at this from a couple of different perspectives. I'm going to get to a teacher's perspective in one moment, but looking at it from a parent's perspective, where, you know, right now there's a lot of online lessons, lesson plans, and you know, how a teacher will structure the course according to the curriculum online, where a student would kind of log into some portal and do the assignments that the teacher had instructed them either the night before or whenever, you know, as long as it's ready for when the child gets up in the morning and decides to log on. Looking at it from a parent perspective, where they're, let's say that they're told to work from home on that particular day, and yet if they've got a small child, maybe perhaps in elementary school, kindergarten, first, second, maybe even third grade, where they can't navigate themselves around the computer as much as somebody, let's say, in high school or even middle school is, they're often going to mom, what does this mean, or how do you do this? And mom is also being monitored by her work that she's doing online by her superiors, and it kind of gives mom a little bit of a struggle, mom or dad, by the way. I shouldn't just say mom necessarily. It could give mom or dad a little struggle as far as, well, I've got to help my child with this because they've got a homework assignment, but I know this is actually my time to be working as well. And sometimes they just want to pull their hair out, go, Calgon, take me away here. You know, they don't know which way because they're being pulled in both directions. What do you say then to a parent who has to adhere to the responsibilities that they still have for work, although being quarantined at home doing their work, yet in the conflict that they have by helping their young child helping them with their assignments that they're assigned online?
Absolutely. And, you know, I'll take it a step further. There are many parents who may not have the proficiency in technology that their children have and are not able to help them, or parents that don't have a mastery of the English language as well as their students do,
yeah,
and aren't unable to help their students with homework in English or classwork in English. The message there is the same. Do the best you can. Don't come down on yourself if you're not able to do that. And if necessary, communicate with the teacher that you're doing the best you can, but this is what we're able to accomplish. At this point, this is new for everyone, for teachers, for school leaders, for district leaders, and for families. I think balancing trying to give your child opportunities to learn and engage with their schoolwork as much as possible to the best you can, while being realistic that you have your responsibilities in terms of taking care of work responsibilities, as you mentioned, but also you need to breathe a little bit. We need to make sure that we're not creating stressors on families that they wouldn't have if we didn't provide some balance. So just do the best you can, stay positive, communicate, and don't feel that your children are going to be negatively punished if they're not able to meet the demands independently that they would have met in the school.
Okay.
There's no replacement for a classroom teacher being able to support a student.
Yeah.
So I don't anticipate that technology is going to take over and be able to meet all the needs of our learners.
Yeah, and I'm going to go there in just one second, but I just want to go back to the parents trying to, you know, ration their time between the work they have and also helping their child. As far as obtaining laptops that they may not have otherwise, usually they don't get a laptop till I think third grade, but in order to do some of these homework assignments, you may need some. I believe boards of education are supplying them, and even internet access, if someone just for some reason could not afford it or just did not have it prior, there are cable companies. I know Cox Cable and I know Comcast have stepped up with 2 free months of internet providing the internet, which is greatly appreciated. But I think to your point, though, as far as minimizing the time rather than trying to come up with lesson plans that occupy a full 7 or 8 hour day, taking into consideration that there'd be for the youngsters that they would have, you know, specials and, you know, recess and lunch time allocated out of their day for that, maybe minimizing the amount of assignments to maybe half that amount of time. That could also help mom and or dad in helping them get through their work online.
Yeah, that's a good point. And what we're trying to do is evolve our guidance.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the thinking is now you're not replicating a 6-hour school day at home. That's difficult to do when families have other things going on. They're taking care of their loved ones and other things are happening. It's really about making meaningful connections with students and giving them meaningful activities to keep them learning. And that's going to evolve and get better over time. I think what we're going to see is a shift from, you know, six different assignments that take an hour to, you know, activities that give students opportunity to engage in learning and use the skills that they have and extend them wherever possible, but in a more meaningful way.
Yeah.
I also want to share that teachers are also dealing with it. Teachers have kids at home too.
That's right.
And they have to tend to their kids. So they're not going to be able to sit for 6 hours in front of a computer like we think they might.
Right. I'm married to one, so I know that. I know that story all firsthand, my friend.
You would get in trouble if you didn't mention that.
Right? I know, right? I'm sure she's listening. I have no idea, actually. But let's stick with teachers for a moment. Listen, it's easier to give lesson plans and have children or young adults, in many cases, follow an assignment based on lessons that have already been taught. However, teaching is very hands-on and very visual for some students, where they need that interaction live in a classroom in order to learn and to ask questions and say, well, so in other words, what you're trying to say is this, or am I doing this right? Do you mean this? And it's hard to be more proactive in getting ahead of the assignment and actually teaching. I don't mean giving an assignment based on what was taught a month ago or a few weeks ago. I mean moving forward and teaching the next step of a lesson. It's hard to do that online without that live in-person interaction. I'm sure you know what I'm saying. And therefore, to go, if God forbid, this was expanded beyond April 20th, where the schools were closed, how can one teach? And I mean by true definition of the word teach, how can they truly teach assignment when students are logging? It's not like taking an online course where everybody's online more or less that same window of time that course is, and the professor is there interacting with people online. These kids are logging in at different times throughout the day that's convenient to their schedule or their parents' schedule. So teaching would actually be more challenges in teaching online in this manner. Would you agree?
Definitely. And what we're finding is, you know, we're all grappling with the same issue. We're all grappling with the fact that not all students are going to be available at 8 in the morning to log on
right
to a video chat. It's just not possible. And how are we going to shift our thinking to provide ways to access, to give more access to students to new learning? That what you just brought up is a conversation I had with my own kids yesterday. Mm. You know, are you getting review work or are you getting new content?
Yeah.
And what does that look like? And how is it delivered? And, you know, some students have access to video conferencing, others don't. So how do we make sure that we're providing similar access to new content to learners that don't have access to technology or Wi-Fi or even just the, you know, ability to engage because they might be at someone else's house being watched and that person doesn't have Wi-Fi or that person doesn't have a laptop. So these are all things we're grappling with together.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the important word, Gary. You know, we have wonderful examples from teachers where they're sharing what they're doing. District leaders are sharing with other district leaders what they're doing, so that as a statewide community, we're getting better every day.
Yeah, and that was going to be my next question, and you kind of alluded to that just now. So you are listening to superintendents of schools, to boards of education, and even educators themselves. Are they chiming in and part of the solution that they're offering, or is this strictly from top down?
No, definitely. I mean, the actual innovation and the creativity is more bottom up than top down.
Good.
What we're trying to do is galvanize best ideas and options and links to resources that are free. And we're trying to help the educators that are being creative with what they're doing by giving them resources and support. And we're also relaxing some requirements that require certain things in schools or certain, like grading is the thing that we're focusing on now. I want to relieve some pressure from teachers and students that they're going to be graded a certain way, because right now we're looking for innovative ideas on engaging students, engaging our English learners, engaging our students with special needs. You know, we have to do more there, and we're hearing good ideas, we're seeing good ideas, and our job is to really raise up those great examples, but also look to see which ways are not being done so that we can provide support in those areas.
That's really good to hear. And there's a whole social aspect of going to learning inside of a classroom setting as well.
Especially, you know, like I said, I have a middle schooler at home.
Right.
You know, the social distance is really an issue, right? So it's interesting how kids are now FaceTiming each other in groups of 5 or 10 just to connect on social matters or to talk about different things. So they're missing that social aspect too. So anything that we can do as educators, not only to address the academic needs of kids, but the social emotional needs of kids is greatly appreciated.
Yeah, and listen, I'm going to ask you a tough question, and I don't need a definitive answer, and I know it's all speculation right now, and I want to be fair with it, and that is, in your heart of hearts, do you really truly believe it'll be April 20th? I'm not going to hold you to this, and I'll be very clear live on the airwaves right now. No one's going to hold you to this. This is strictly speculation. Do you think it'll be April 20th that the kids go back to school? Do you think that they're going to wipe out this the rest of the remainder of the school year, or do you think it'll be May? Or do you really do think, in concert with the governor, that it could theoretically be in sometime next fall that the kids go back to school?
Anything that I tell you now is going to be my personal opinion, is not based on any
absolutely
medical facts, but I do think that there's a possibility that it goes further than April 20th.
Yeah.
April 20th is a good place to hold, and it could be that if we make a decision before April 20th, it could be that it doesn't mean that we wipe out the rest of the year. The next option isn't necessarily the rest of the year.
Right. No, I even said that. Okay. It could theoretically, it could be the middle of May and you still have a month, you know, of being in the classroom and, you know, especially for seniors who are saying their goodbyes and yearbooks and signing stuff and things that you and I enjoyed when we were seniors. I'm going to give you the next minute or 2 minutes. Is there anything that you would like to, you know, inform or educate, you know, Central Connecticut parents and students with that, you know, going forward?
Just, you know, the message is the same that I said earlier. Don't put too much pressure on yourself, teachers, parents, to try to make it replicate what we were doing 3 weeks ago in our schools. That's impossible to replicate when we are not having engagement with teachers and students. A computer will not replace a teacher. It will engage students in learning. And don't beat yourselves up if you're not where you want to be yet. It's a learning curve for everyone. Stay positive. I think for students to feel engaged in a positive way socially is critically important. So that's make sure that there's time for that as well, for them just to engage socially, because I think they miss that a lot. We're listening to parents. We're listening to students. We're listening to teachers, administrators, superintendents, to make sure that the guidance that we're giving is based on what we know is happening at the ground level. And to the students who are listening, my wish would be that we can get back in April 20th, but there's not going to be a decision made until we know that it's safe for you to enter back into the schools. And at the end of the day, the most important thing for us is ensuring safety of the residents of Connecticut.
Absolutely. Safety and health. I cannot thank you enough for your candor and for your kindness. You have been absolutely outstanding. Keep up the good work, and thank you so much for being with us here this morning.
It means a lot. Thank you. Stay safe.
My absolute pleasure. There you have it, folks. Directly from the mouth of the commissioner of the State Department of Education, Dr. Miguel Cardona. I mean, you can't get any more matter of fact from that. He was very candid. He looked at it from different perspectives, from a teacher's perspective, from a parent's perspective, and without a doubt from a student's perspective. The bottom line, what we got out of this, is you can't beat yourself up over it. These are unprecedented times, and there's nothing to compare it to. There's no point of reference that they can go, well, back then we did this, or we handled it this way. Uncharted waters, as they say. So we're all going through this together. Don't beat yourself up. Do the best you can, and hopefully they can salvage some of this school year.